Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, oh, hey, nah.
Welcome to Human Design On Air. I'm your host, Peter Rowe from loveyourhumandesign.com. And tonight we're going to be talking about human design and talking about the incarnation cross of planning. And to help me do that, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Reverend Rick of revrick.webs.com. Reverend Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Peter. As always, a pleasure to be here. And looking forward to tonight's discussion.
As am I. Reverend Rick and I were just discussing. We have an odd couple of famous people or celebrities that we're going to talk about tonight. I guess it's an odd triplet, I guess you would say. I guess another instance of three people that you would not picture being paired together, but they are paired together tonight because they're all born on or under the incarnation cross of planning. And those three people are Michael Jackson, the singer, John F. Kennedy, former president, and Tony Randall, probably best known for his role as Felix in The Odd Couple. Reverend Rick, your thoughts when you saw those three together?
I thought, boy, this is going to be interesting. But then, you know, like you said, you know, this is a triple where you wouldn't really think any of them had anything in common with any of the other two. And yet when you start looking at the energies behind the cross of planning, you realize, wow, there were a lot of similarities there.
Yep. So, absolutely.
Very interesting how all that plays out.
It is. And again, we're talking about the incarnation cross of planning tonight. Your incarnation cross is made up of your four lead energies. If you happen to have your human design chart, then I think for most of them, they will put your incarnation cross down in the bottom section, often referred to as keynotes. But I do know that there are a couple of softwares out there that don't include that. The other way that you can determine the energies in your incarnation cross is to look at the listings of gates, so the list of numbers on your chart. And maybe it would help if I send them out to the blog post that we're going to be looking at tonight. If you go out to loveyourhumandesign.com, and on the upper right-hand side, click on Peter's blog, and then look for the article entitled Incarnation Cross of Planning. And we're going to be looking at those charts there of those three gentlemen that I mentioned, as well as it'll be helpful for this discussion. So anyway, what I was saying was that if your chart does not include the incarnation cross, you can tell what energies go into it by looking for the listing of numbers. Those are the gates, and you will have a planetary symbol that's a circle with a dot on it up at the top, and then you'll have a second one with a circle with a cross in it. And those two symbols are the sun and the earth. And the gate numbers that are next to those are the four gates that form your incarnation cross. And as Reverend Rick and I like to say, we feel that there's, because this is the lead energy, it's the energy of the sun and the earth that's really in your crystalline structure, in your energetic design, that this incarnation cross, the energy of it, is a stepping stone or an underlying energy It's really here to facilitate you with all or part of your life purpose. Reverend Rick, thoughts you want to add to that?
Probably just that for most people, half of the energies that appear in their incarnation crosses are energies that are very familiar to them. And, you know, from looking at the charts, you see that those energies are labeled, or generally labeled, the personality. So these are energetic expressions that are familiar to us. The other two, normally showing up in red, represent energies that may or may not be familiar to us until something happens to call our attention to it. So I like to refer to those as the unaware energy. On the charts, it's usually designated either unconscious or design energies. So, and these are represented by the red numbers. As I said earlier, the personality gates are represented by the black numbers, usually black. So I guess that's all I would add to that, Peter, is just that, you know, it's half and half. You know, there's aware energy and there's unaware energy. And, you know, generally an incarnation cross is pretty well balanced between them.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And there's a, you know, I was just looking at the chart, so it sort of caught me sleeping there. I was looking at comparing Michael Jackson and Tony Randall and John F. Kennedy, and I think there's going to be some interesting things to talk about in terms of those lead energies too, just the way that they're structured. And Kingdom here, out on the chat line, is asking what the show is about. Got in just a little bit late, so again, the show tonight is on the incarnation cross of planning. And I am going to post the link there. If you're on the chat site, I just posted the link. So one of the significances about the incarnation cross that we're looking at tonight is that it includes a full channel. And that's known as the channel of community. It's energy about the family, the tribe, the community. And so of course, for all three of these gentlemen, Michael Jackson, John F. Kennedy, and Tony Randall, you know, as I was writing the blog post today and thinking about it, just a major theme in their lives in a lot of different ways. I'd say probably Tony, it shows up a little bit differently than the other two. But certainly for Michael Jackson, you know, started out as the Jackson 5, then, you know, later in his life went his own way, yet created this Neverland, really kind of a retreat for himself, but also for his family members. And, you know, certainly John F. Kennedy is a member of the Kennedy tribe, and, you know, the family influence there was, you know, very significant, very involved. You know, all his brothers were involved in his presidential campaign, and his father was involved in his presidential campaign. So your thoughts about the family aspect in this cross tonight, Rick?
You know, the thing that I find most interesting about this is that those two gates that you're referring to, the 37 and the 40, that create that channel, interestingly enough, it always shows up as one gate activated by the sun and one gate activated by the earth. And so there's this element of both radiating out but also being well grounded. And I think that's what you were hitting on, you know, this element of the family, this construct of family loyalty and family dynamic and you know, the tribe is a very, very strong one in this cross, regardless of whether it shows up as a conscious energy or an unconscious energy. This is an energy that is something that is grounding to the individual as well as something that gets portrayed or, as I said earlier, radiated out. You know, people see this, regardless of whether or not the individual is aware of it. People around them see this, you know, this aspect of them and recognize it. And I think to a certain extent, people understand and know that they're either in or they're not. I don't think it. I don't think it's ever ambiguous. So
you're one of us, or you're one of them, huh?
Yeah. Well, maybe not even one of them. Maybe it's just you're either okay or you're not okay. You're in the tribe. You're in the family, or you need to wait outside until we're done. Now, Johnny can't come out to play with you right now. He's doing family matters. You know.
I didn't know you were so on such close terms with John F. Kennedy.
Are you kidding? We're like this.
Must have been that Cuban thing, huh?
Oh, yeah, we don't talk about that.
Let's see. Dark side of the... Dark secret of the family. Reverend Rick, where would you like to start in this discussion of the cross of the planning?
Where would I like to start? You know what? I think, believe it or not, I'd like to start down in the sacral area. And the reason I say that, well, we should probably mention the other gates, I guess. That are involved in this. We mentioned the 37 and the 40, making that channel of community. The other two are gate 16 in the throat and gate 9 in the sacral. And once again, from Peter's blog post, you can see that first chart listed on the page there, not the mandala, but as you scroll down, you'll see Michael Jackson's chart is the first chart. And each of the four gates that are in this cross are circled in blue. And the one at the very, very bottom, tiny little oval there on that little white square, gate number 9, that's where I want to start. And that's known as the gate of concentration, or the gate of, I shouldn't say concentration, I'm sorry, I think that's the connecting one, the gate of focus. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the preponderance of the small. Is that correct, Peter?
That is correct, or it's also sometimes called the taming power of the small. But
oh, yeah, I don't know why I said preponderance. Yeah, that's the preponderance of the gate of the great. That's a different gate. I guess I'm just a little frazzled today. I don't know. Maybe I'm just unfocused. That must be it. But then again, I don't have this incarnation cross either, so. The interesting thing about this, though, you know, the gate nine and gate 16, both of them have a commonality, I guess I'll call it. They're both collective energies that belong to the same circuit group. And in this case, it's the logic circuit, what we refer to as the logic circuit. It's known as the understanding circuit. But this is gate number 9. This is the energy for focusing on the details. This is the energy for basically either being so focused that you don't miss anything, or so focused that you're lost in the details and can't get out of them. It's kind of like being lost in the weeds somewhere. But it's a very important energy, because this is an energy, especially for this cross, this is an energy that allows you to, I don't want to say focus your attention, but in essence, that's really what's happening. But you're zeroing in energetically on those things that are necessary and worthwhile. And this is, as collective energy, this is what is it that people need to know about? What is it that's going to be important for them? You know, for the collective. And this is the energy to focus on the tiny little details in all the different, you know, categories of expression, all the different aspects of life, if you will. But it's an energy that before you can take any kind of action, it needs to feel comfortable that it's taken care of the list, the inventory list, if you will, of those details. The details have been thought out, thoroughly evaluated. I got all my ducks in a row, and now I can go ahead and take action. Sometimes this gate is on an activated energy center, and sometimes it's not. You know, even people that have this incarnation cross don't always have a defined sacral center, which means they're basically waiting for the right environment for this energy to really kick in and be the focusing power that they need to apply. So it's an energy that's basically, if it's on an undefined energy center, undefined sacral, it's waiting in the wings, waiting for that burst of energy to come through and give it the oomph to really say, this is what's relevant right now. You know, this is what we can focus on, and it will, you know, we can focus on this, and it will lead to some form of success or accomplishment. And I'm going to stop there and say, Peter, did I miss anything? Would you like to add anything to that?
I'm just going to add visualization that comes to my mind in terms of how this energy proliferated with Michael Jackson, and just point to the Thriller video. You know, if you remember, if you've seen the Thriller video, if you're younger folks, and you've seen the Thriller video, let me put this in some framework. The Thriller video, I think, came out probably in the first or second year of MTV, you know, which was basically the very beginnings of music video. And just the immense detail in that video, from the makeup to the, you know, to the choreographed steps, to you know, having Vincent Price sort of act as the narrator, you know, as we, you know, and then on top of that, the, you know, the songs, the lyrics, and all that, you know, it speaks volumes to the focus that Michael Jackson was able to put on many of his pieces of work, but that one, I think, in particular, just pops out in my mind as, you know, because it contained not just the audio but the visual, and dancing, so really harnessed a bigger array of expression than we might normally see in just sort of a musical or lyrical song. And just all that focus to be able to come up like that.
Yeah, like you said, focus on all those little details that are going to convey that message to the collective. And that's really, I mean, seriously, musicians, you know, they are the modern-day storytellers. You know, from way, way back when, villages would have storytellers that would go from place to place and you know, not just tell stories, but also bring news, you know, share information. And today we have such talented musicians out there that write their own songs, create their own imagery, as you were just saying. But it's all still to convey a message. You know, there's still some information that they want to get out, and not to get too far off track here, but Bono from U2, you know, is a very politically active individual who's a very talented singer and musician songwriter, but he also tries to deliver messages. Getting back to Michael Jackson and the topic of today, you know, all those details help to create the image that's going to help propel that message out to the masses. So anyway, that was an interesting little detail there.
Yep.
And I'll just add one more thing. If I remember correctly, I think for, if not all, then at least most of the videos that Michael Jackson did, music videos that he did, I believe he did all the choreography. You know, he wrote the choreography for those videos.
I believe so, but I can't claim that. I know that.
Yeah. Certainly, it may not have been in the very early stages, you know, when MTV first came out and he started doing those videos. It might not have been in the early ones. But I believe soon after, he started doing his own choreography. But I could be wrong. He could have started it from the first one. Or not at all.
So we've got Focus. And now should we pour in a little bit of skills and enthusiasm?
Let's see where that enthusiasm might take us. What do you think?
I think we should. So, of course, we're talking about the second gate of this incarnation cross, the cross of planning. And the second gate that we're talking about is gate 16. It's the gate of skills or enthusiasm. It's off of the throat, going down towards the spleen center. And this is, you know, if you think about it, I was thinking about this today. This gate is coming out of the throat, and it's in the logical circuit. And, you know, and the goal of logic is to bring joy to life. And so really, this is the voice that is potentially expressing in a skillful and enthusiastic way how whatever we're doing is going to bring joy to life. I mean, that's sort of the undertone. May not be saying that, you know, do this and you'll have a joyful life. But whatever the message is carrying, that's sort of the underlying tone, is to do something in a logical way that is going to make life better. And so that's sort of my stepping off point for the gate 16 this evening.
And again, it's got that that connection to gate 9 in having that shared energy of that circuitry. I'm going to add a little bit to that, Peter, if you don't mind.
Oh, please do.
I like the I Ching name of this gate. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, if that's all right.
Absolutely.
And that is gate 16 in the I Ching is also known as enthusiasm. Well, hang on just a sec here. Okay. So it's called enthusiasm, and there's a reason for that. You know, in human design, we refer to it as skills and having the skills to, you know, being able to develop the skills you may need to help achieve that element of joy in life. But it's also known as enthusiasm, and that enthusiasm is all about being able to put out, if you will, an energy that brings people towards you, an energy that brings people together. It's an energy that makes things happen. You know, enthusiasm is catchy. People like others who are enthusiasm and tend to join in when there's an enthusiastic person leading the way. And so this energy is not just about having, you know, one person having the skills. It's about being able to draw together those who can help. But it's always with that it's not necessarily a specific leadership quality. It's more being able to motivate others through your own levels of enthusiasm. And I guess we don't really talk much about that when we refer to this gate because we tend to focus more on the human design side of things, but there is that element from the I Ching that I'd like to just kind of bring a little bit of focus to, if you will.
Absolutely.
So now that we've focused our enthusiasm, where does that take us?
Well, it's got to take us back to the family. Back to the tribe.
That's what I was thinking, too. So we've gathered people together.
Right.
We've put out the message to the... We've focused on the details that need to be shared. We've put the message out to the collective and brought people together. And so now we've created our own little group, our own little community that's going to help achieve what needs to be achieved. How does that happen, Peter?
Well, would you like to take the 40 or the 37?
I'll take the 40. Why don't you do the 37?
All right. Well, again, we're talking about, you know, in this case, we're talking about the gate 37. But tonight, because of this cross, we have the sort of the special privilege of talking about the whole channel. So first we'll talk about it in pieces, and then we'll bring it together. So this gate 37, this is the gate that desires, you know, it's off the emotional center, emotional solar plexus. So the gate 37 desires, has a real emotional need to be one with the family or the tribe or the community. It's a tribal type energy. And so there's just going to be this driving force in this gate 37 that is not going to be happy being alone. If you happen to have the gate 37 and it's hanging all by itself, throughout your lifetime you will be pushed by this internal force of the gate 37 to form some kind of family or community or tribe. Now, it may be a tribe of two. It could be a tribe of yourself and other make-believe people. I happen to have this whole channel, and as a child, I used to play football and basketball by myself. But I would play with other, I would basically make-believe, and in playing basketball, I would be the sports announcer, and I would, call the name, passes to so-and-so, and I would actually toss the ball sort of halfway across the court and run and get it, and then I would be the other person. So, it's one of the aha moments that I've had since learning human design, that's part of the reason that I did that, but that's also part of the reason that I continued to do that, because that expression really resonated with me. And if I didn't have friends or buddies to play the game with, I created my own. So real driving force here to be a part of that, and in the case we can't be a part of that, may drive you to create your own.
And this is really where that seat of you're either in or you're not kind of thing comes in. Because, this is that strong family energy, and when it comes together with gate 40, watch out. Any other details you'd like to share with us about gate 37, Peter?
Well, I guess the one other piece that we should emphasize is, it is family or a tribe, and families and tribes don't exist without rules, norms, morals, and, so they're... This isn't unstructured lonely energy. This is very structured energy to be together. So it's not energy that's going to just say, "Oh, Mutt and Jeff, let's let's go do something. There's got to be something more underlying it, something that makes it a tribe. Now, it could be a tribe of misfits.
The island of misfit toys.
You know, that would certainly work because there's sort of some underlying, you know, the misfit toys from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know, there was an underlying theme that brought them all together, even though they were very different things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but this energy, it does, there's going to be morals, there's going to be norms, there's going to be rules of the family, tribe, or community that are desired to be enforced, because otherwise that sense of family, community, tribe breaks down.
So in other words, you're saying that there's some sense of expectation, or I should say there's some expectation of pulling your fair share, doing your fair share here, right?
Absolutely.
And what could be a consequence of not pulling your fair share?
Alone
for people
again.
That have this energy, I should say.
Alone again, naturally.
I should have seen that coming. but yes, absolutely. Yeah, they get kicked out. You know, I really like the play between the names here, the I Ching name and the Human Design name for Gate 37. You know, in Human Design, we call it the Gate of Friendship. In I Ching, it's known as the Family. And really, family is so much more than just the blood you share with someone. You know, family gets extended to beyond that. And even within the blood families, there's that bond of friendship that's beneath it all. And when that bond is violated, I guess, that's where families get torn apart. And so, Peter, I completely agree with you that there's an underlying current of something, you know, keeping everyone together. And I think I like to think that it's an undercurrent of love, but you know, maybe it's more friendship, perhaps, I don't know. Go ahead, Peter.
Go ahead. You're going to tell us about the loneliest number.
That's right. Contrary to popular belief, it is not number one. Gate 40, the last gate. People with this gate, now I'm going to be generic first, and then we'll go back to the cross of planning here. But people that have this gate are I don't want to say they're lonely people, but they kind of look for something that they feel may be missing in their lives. And by that, I mean like a personal relationship or some kind of an inclusive relationship to something, to a group. This is called the Gate of Aloneness in Human Design. It's also known as Deliverance in the I Ching. And it's this... Boy, I can tell you, Peter, I have this gate. I have it on an undefined heart center. And this is very much an energy of, you know, being on the outside looking in and wishing you were in. And so this is the energy that pushes people to be a part of that family, to be a part of that 37 energy of community, or connectedness maybe is a better way of saying it. And so the 37 and the 40 really have this intricate play that happens between them. But when one is when one either violates that bond, that underlying bond, or hasn't quite established it yet, it can be a very lonely energy. It can make one feel very, very lonely. And so it's an energy that basically says, You have the willpower, it is on the will center, you have the willpower to do what's necessary to prove yourself to the group or community that you want to be a part of. But you also need to understand that you're a part of, you know, once you're in, you are a part of that community. And so you need to remember, I don't need to do things on my own anymore. You know, this is an energy that leads you to rely on yourself, even though you still want to be a part of the group. And sometimes it's hard to remember that you can rely on someone else. Now, I can't speak much for having this energy on a defined heart center. As I said, my own is an undefined heart center. But we can, you know, we know from our basic understandings of human design that a defined heart center provides a current, a continuous current to that gate. And so there's consistency in the expression of that gate of aloneness, whether it's that drive to be apart or whether it's that constant reminding of oneself that you are a part of something larger than yourself. You don't need to do it all alone. So, Peter, what else would you like to add to that?
I think I'd just like to add the part about the bargain.
Ah.
What about you?
Now, with that one, I was thinking that's more, are we going to talk about that more from the viewpoint of the channel or from the individual gates?
Well, I think the channel.
All right. Good. I was hoping you would take the a deeper look at the channel since you've lived with that for quite a while. Not saying that you're old or anything. No, I'm just saying I don't have the whole channel. I've only got the 40. So. Have I said how much I love you, Peter?
Aw, I love you too.
I was a little worried about getting kicked out of the tribe there.
Yeah. I figured you were buttering me up. So. But no, so you have this, so you have on the one end of the spectrum the gate 40, and its desire to have its personal freedoms, to have its to have its rights, to have its way to, willful way to be. And then on the other end of the channel, you have this gate 37 that's really driven to bring things together, to create, bond the family. And so ultimately what you have in this channel energy is a bargain. And essentially the 40, I think it's more the 37 says, Reverend Rick, if you want to be part of this show, if you want to be part of this family, then, you know, this and this we can't tolerate that. And so ultimately the 40 has to decide, can I live with that or not? And if the 40 decides, you know what, I really want to be part of something, so I can live without those things. Then you have this cohesive tribal energy. But there's always going to be this interplay between the 40 and the 37. The 37 demanding you have to conform, the 40 having these fluctuations of, yeah, but I don't want to give up that. You know, I want to be part of the family, but I don't want to give up that. And so this energy plays back and forth and can be, you know, at times it can be very bonding. And at other times it can feel stretched. And, you know, and you can imagine the whole spectrum of reactions from, you know, giving things up to be part of the group, or just walking away and saying, forget it. Or being kicked out because you're trying to, I guess, walk the razor's edge and pretend you're part of the group, yet sort of live to the beat of your own drum.
Yeah. And, you know, Peter, it's interesting that you phrase it that way, because Well, I guess I'm going back to what you said a little bit ago about the 40 having to decide, is it worth being in this group? If I've got to do this, is it worth it to me? Because I was responding to some statements on the chat board. Psychic consultant to the stars says, I like being alone. And I had to think, you know, I like being alone too, to a point. But then I want that connectedness. I want that sense of community. I want that sense of belonging. But I have literally turned my back on certain communities, certain groups, because the requirements for being there were too contrary to my nature. And I could not agree to the terms. That was a bond or a handshake that I couldn't commit to. And I knew that. I felt that somewhere, you know, in my core. I felt it and thought, this is not for me. And so I was there for a little while, until I realized, you know, this really is not for me. So I, rather than being kicked out, I walked out. But yep. Then again, like I said, I still have only just the one gate, not the full channel.
So I think you can start to see really sort of how all this comes together, that we started out with the gate of focus, gate 9, and you know, this extreme focus on detail or on the pertinent facts. And we added in the gate 16, enthusiasm. And and then add in this whole channel of being part of the family or being part of the tribe, or not, obviously. And, you know, really what I see when I see this cross is that, you know, what's this planning about? Well, it's bringing focus and it's bringing enthusiasm and it's bringing intention to the family. And, you know, tribal energy, which is what you're talking about with a family or community, is self-preserving and self-perpetuating. And so if you bring that energy of focus and enthusiasm coupled with that channel of the family, then you really have got energy that's going to drive the family forward. Now, it could mean completely status quo, because that's what the energy, you know, that's what the focus and the enthusiasm and the talent is seeing is going to preserve the family. Or it could be really pushing that energy for some change. But, you know, we're not talking about a revolution here. We're talking about moving forward change that the tribe is going to be able to put up with. So, again, depending on what kind of, you know, you have conservative families and conservative tribes, and you have radical families and radical tribes. And so depending probably on the context of what is creating that particular tribal or family energy is really how far the energy of this cross is going to push things forward for change, or push things forward more for status quo. Reverend Rick.
Sorry about that. I was responding to things on the chat board again. I agree. You know, I whenever I hear conversations or comments about being that spark for change, I think I always go back to human design, and I think of my own design. Because I guess in my own design, for people who aren't aware of it, I have only individual definition in my chart, which basically means I don't feel if we just differentiate between the individual, the tribe, and the collective, you know, I don't feel necessarily connected to any particular tribe. I don't necessarily feel that the collective that I belong to is necessarily a national or continental, or, you know, it's a global collective, you know, from my perspective. But I'm here as an individual, and that means that I am here to a certain extent to challenge others, to challenge people. My individuality challenges people who want everyone else to conform. And I'm usually the first one that says, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And I really don't mean it as a confrontation. You know what I mean, Peter?
I do.
Being an individual doesn't mean that you have to be confrontational with people. But unfortunately, some people are affronted by those who will not conform. And I can honestly say to everyone out there listening who's an individual, you are not here to conform. that is definitely not the role of individual energy. But I would say, you know, there was a comment on the chat board about not taking anything personally and following the strategy and authority. And Judy says it sounds like a balance between a thick skin or more authentic compassion and acceptance for all involved. And I would say I think she's right. I think there is a balance that needs to be struck there. Let strategy and authority be your guide, but always act from a place of compassion. And certainly, you know, you and I have said many times, don't take things personally. There's going to be things that change, and there's going to be things that remain the same. And the trick is knowing which ones are within your power to affect. And that comes from, you know, living your life authentically by following your design, following your strategy and authority. But as far as the cross of planning goes, bringing all of these energies together, you know, as you said earlier, Peter, you know, well, I can't say it the same way that you did. But you gave a real nice synopsis of the energies of the four gates, or maybe the two gates in the channel. And that, I'm having this aha moment in my brain, Peter. And I want to throw it out there and see what you think. Is that all right?
Yeah, please do.
Well, I was thinking in terms of gates 9 and 16 and the channel energy, and the channel energy being that community, you know, that bonding that you're in or you're not, you conform, you subscribe to the rules, or you just don't have a place here. And I realized, you know what? Gate 9, with its ability to focus, can really add to that channel of community. It can really lend itself well to that energy in terms of focusing on the details that need to be corrected in order to make that make the corrections, if you will, that can help the community to grow, as long as it's a correction the community agrees to, or a correction that the community sees or you know, can actually recognize. And gate 16, you know, that enthusiasm, those skills, are really the energy that's going to help others in that tribe or in that community to get to the point where they can see the corrections that need to be taken, you know, see the details that need to be put in place in order to get, you know, to a larger community or a better run community, or, you know, maybe improve on the conditions of inclusion. I don't know if that's an odd way of phrasing it or not, but, you know, I was just thinking of how those collective energies really mesh with the tribal energies, and I don't know if I expressed myself well or not, but there it is. What do you think?
Well, and I would just add that gate 16 helped the family community see the pattern.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to move them towards something, you're trying to show them a pattern of some sort, most likely. I mean, you probably could do that abstractly, but I think this just in itself, this cross would tend to probably go the more logical route. But
Well, and any time a point needed to be made, it would probably be made through looking at patterns of community behavior from the past and saying this is, you know, in a logical sequence, take them to the present and say this is what we've gone through. You know, you see how well it worked before? Maybe we need to make adjustments here.
And so one of the things that is we were talking about the family channel here, you know, and I was thinking about the Michael Jackson thing and the Neverland. You know, I think that's a real great illustration of, you know, he created this Neverland Wonder Park or whatever you want to call it, which in a way is, it has the framework to encourage being part of the family, but it also has had the size and immensity and the fantasy aspect of being an individual. And so it's interesting that Michael Jackson's lead energy is that gate 40, that aloneness. And so sort of in that tug of war back and forth, you know, in a way I see that the Neverland place that he created could satisfy both. It could satisfy the family, but it could also give the space for that aloneness, that freedom, to also express itself without being constrained.
And is it okay to get into more detail on the charts now?
Yeah.
I didn't want to cut off anything that might be coming up. All right. Yeah, because you know, I just wanted to chime in on that because one of the things that really struck me here is that his type is that of a projector, and I had heard people talk about Michael Jackson and say that he was a reflector, and I'm interested to know. Well, first off, are you sure about his birth time?
I had done research on him before, and there's a website that I use called AstroTheme that has thousands and thousands of astrology charts.
Uh-huh.
And before they did not have his time of birth, and my research found that there were two different times in birth and that were sort of floating around on the internet, and one this time actually claimed to be through a family member or a friend of the family. This is going back a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And long and short, now AstroTheme has his time cited, so I speculate that since his death, that has been maybe released or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that this is Chetan Parkin, this is the same chart that he goes with. I don't know if it's exact for the time, but I know that it's the just the solar plexus in the Will Center.
Well, and I was going to say, if there's no other movement for that day, you know, in the transits, you know, if the crosses don't change or anything like that, you know, chances are this is his. You know, it doesn't matter what time of day he was born, he's going to have this channel.
That is true.
And so, you know, he's going to have these two centers defined, which means he's going to be a projector, or that he's most likely going to be this projector. But the thought that was coming to me when you were talking about building the theme park, the Neverland, you know, you're right, his lead energy is that gate 40, but, you know, he took it in a very different direction. Generally, the 40 is the outsider looking in. What he did, or what it seems to me is what he did, by building this Neverland was to put himself on the inside and invite others to come in, invite others from the outside to come in, where he could create his community. He could create his family. He could show them this is where this is where you could be. You know, this is where you could belong. You know, where you would be welcome. And so rather than go out and try to find a place to belong, he created a place where others could come and create the community. He created the space for the community to be built, in other words.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, there's something else in there, too, and that's you know, his profile, the 1-3. He's got gate 40 and gate 37 defined in the first line, which means this is a very foundational energy for him. You know, he needed to feel like he belonged. He needed to feel like he was in some form of group, of community, of family, you know, of bonded connectedness. And it was important for him. It was a foundational, you know, for him to have that feeling. And yet, the other energies, the 9 and the 16, the focus and the enthusiasm, are third-line energies, which is all about, you know, this is what I think, and this is what I'm going to try. And somehow or other, you know, that didn't quite work. I'll have to try something else. And so the scale, you know, like you were mentioning, the scale of the place was probably part of that third-line, try it and see, did I cover all of the possible details that needed to be covered? You know, this is how big it turned out because of that. Well, perhaps his enthusiasm to cover all the details made it such that, you know, he didn't realize he didn't need to cover all of the details. You know, and that's just me speaking out loud, you know, thinking out loud, and relating the third line aspect to these gates. But it's interesting to me to think that he would have that totally internally focused profile, where he needed to have that solid foundation of community, and yet was quote unquote experimenting with the skills and the details necessary to achieve it.
Well, even to the extent that he had. I don't know how many days or weeks it lasted, but he got married to Marie Presley, Elvis's daughter, I guess. There for I don't think it lasted more than like 3 or 4 weeks. And that, you know, and so that was a experiment, an experience with family, or trying to create family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there are so many things we can look at in his chart.
And he, going he back to, I just wanted to back up to one of your early comments about the, you know, there's speculation on, there had been speculation about whether Michael Jackson was a reflector or, you know, in this case, he's a projector. And, you know, just taking a look at this chart, regardless of that, you know, he's a projector that's pretty darn close to a reflector. Because,
yeah.
You know, you take away one of these gates, 37 or 40, and he is a reflector. So it's not a moot point, but in some senses it's starting to split hairs because, you know, here you have a two-center projector that's incredibly open, under a lot of pressure, because open root and open head, and is going to be very influenced by the world around him.
Very much so, and you know, with this kind of energy and this kind of cross, he's going to be taking in and giving back that energy in ways that, or maybe I should say, he's going to be taking in and utilizing this energy and then giving it back in ways that are going to emphasize the need for a structured community or the need for, you know, bonding in bonding and connectedness in a family sense. And I think you mentioned earlier, Peter, that a lot of his songs have a common theme about, you know, belonging.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an underlying theme, but, you know, still something you can find there. And one other thing that I find very interesting in his chart, you know, he has a completely open head and root. The two pressure centers, the one at the very top and the one at the very bottom, completely open, meaning not just influenced by the environment in which he finds himself, but totally at the mercy of it. You know, the complete and total, any expression coming through those energy centers are going to come completely from his environment, something he's going to be reflecting back out to people. So there again, you know, there's that little bit of reflector nature, or reflector ability maybe, expressing itself, but through two energy centers that put a lot of pressure on him to express themselves that way.
Absolutely. And getting back to sort of the theme, another song that sort of popped in my head as I was working on this was a song called The Man in the Mirror. And there's a line in that song, if you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make the change. And, you know, that really just... That could be the theme song for the Cross of Planning.
Yep. Wow. How nice, how appropriate. I hadn't even thought about that. I like that.
So Reverend Rick, just...
Great minds think alike. I was going to say, we could talk a lot about this, but in the interest of time, shall we move on to Tony?
Well, I was just going to suggest we have a listener on the chat line here. And I sent you her chart. She's the Cross of Planning.
Uh-huh.
And so she was hoping that we could just give her a little bit of insight on her chart.
Okay.
Did you get my email?
I did. I have it open right here.
So one of the things she had commented was she was feeling oppressed when we were talking about the emotional solar plexus and the whole family thing. So you want to speak on that in terms of her design or any other things that you see that pop out?
Sure. The first thing that pops out at me is, and I wish we could put this up there for our listeners to see too. I don't know if you have permission for that or not. But the 3740 channel is defined from the unconscious side. Now, there is a conscious element to the 40, but the channel itself is done on the design side, which means this is an unaware energy. And one of the first things that pops into my head when I see that, especially when it's defined on the design side, is that there's this potential for... frustration, I guess, or this feeling of why is nobody living up to the bargain? Why is nobody, you know, holding up their end of the deal? And I've worked with several clients where I've had to mention to them, you know, you have this channel of community that's on the unaware side, the unconscious side or design side of your design. This is an energy that you may be in your own space believing there's a bargain or believing there's a deal that's been made or, you know, believing that there's some kind of agreement that needs to be adhered to. But unless that agreement is verbalized to the other person, they may not even be aware that you believe it exists. And that's one of the cautions I give people with this channel when it's defined completely and when it's a completely unconscious definition. So, Peter, when you mentioned that about feeling oppressed, you know, that was one of the things that came to mind. Do you want to add anything to that?
Hold on a second. I'm switching windows and I'm lost right now. There we go. Sorry about that. No, I agree with you on that point, definitely. I'm just looking at the, you know, I guess what I'd add to that is that there's a lot of tribal energy here, because not only the 3740, there's the 596 and the 27. So there's, as you and I know, and it's probably too big to go into this conversation, but there's other structure and rules that are brought in by that tribal energy that's beyond sort of the tribal rules that the 3740 channel would bring.
Right.
So again, yeah, that emphasis, I definitely see that you know, that there could be a rejection of that, even if it's unspoken, because again, a lot of what goes on with human design is not spoken. That is a very small chart. Small part of it.
Yep. And probably another thing that I would add is, you know, this is the design of a generator who, when you look at generators, their strategy is to wait to respond. You know, they need something to respond to. There's a little bit of a danger here, or maybe not really danger, but a caution that I would offer, and that is, if you're responding to what you believe to be a broken deal or a broken agreement, what I would caution you on is responding out of that belief rather than responding to the fact that you think it's a broken deal. I would challenge you gently to go back and look at, was the deal actually made clear, or was it an assumed agreement? Like I said, the unconscious energy here assumes a lot of agreements and verbalizes very few of them. So I would just say, try to focus a little bit on the details of the agreement and see, was it a clear agreement for the other party before reacting or responding out of the belief that the deal was broken. And of course, never take an action until after you've managed to be emotionally clear about the situation. Your authority being that solar plexus means that your emotions are your guiding principle. But if you're being drawn by one end of the spectrum or the other, then you're not clear on the action that needs to be taken. Emotional clearness means wait until you're in the middle, no longer pulled in either direction, you know, by what's referred to in human design as the hope to pain wave. You're not being pulled towards the hope side. You're not being pulled towards the pain side. You're in the equilibrium point somewhere in the middle. That is when you're clear and can then decide the action to be taken. So that, and applying the focus of the ninth gate to the situation, will hopefully allow you to get a better perspective on what's happening. To bring the other side of your chart, of your design in there, you've got gate 57 connected to gate 10, and that means that your intuition should be guiding your behavior to make sure it's the proper behavior in the moment. But again, there's a whole flow there that says, wait out your wave before you decide. Once you decide, let your intuition guide. Let your intuition guide the behavior. Peter, any other comments on that?
Not on that, but I think this is a good point. We can segue into, we'll jump ahead to John Kennedy, because Kingdom here has the same profile as John Kennedy. Both are 3-5s. And so, you know, here is an attribute, the profile, with it being a 3-5, again, if we back up to the cross, This is a cross that's going to be sort of pointing the way for how the family, how the tribe should migrate, so to speak, you know, sort of what's the next step. And with that fifth line in the profile, it's going to be projected. And, you know, that projection is a sophisticated thing. It can be very complex, but it can also be very simple in any given instance. It can respond simply. And so, essentially, if the projection is not understood or misunderstood, you know, projection of where we're moving to with this family, then that can encounter some friction. So, talking about John Kennedy, for obviously enough of the voting public at the time, he gave a pretty good projection of where he could take this tribe, the USA, to, you know, at least to get enough votes to be elected. And I think at times, I was rather young then, but from the small amount of history I have studied from that period, that at times he was very polarizing and, you know, really led with a lot of strength. But at other times it was very derisive. Not everybody could follow that projection that he was giving off. And you know, and the tribe was very, very split.
Yeah. And you know, he also you mentioned earlier in regards to the 3740, the rules of engagement. You know, the conditions. You know, the criteria that need to be fulfilled. You know, there's a traditionalist type of perspective here. You know, I forget how you phrased it, Peter, but you said something about when you have this channel, you have those morals, those rules to live by, and generally, you know, these are the rules for belonging to the family, and so they're carried over from your family into whatever family you're finding yourself in. And I'm using the word family in quotes here.
Yes.
Again, it's referring to your community, your small group. But John Kennedy had his criteria for how things should be, for how the proper behavior patterns should look. And some people have even speculated that one of the reasons he was assassinated was because he was on in the political arena. He was actually looking to dismantle the Federal Reserve Board. He did not like the fact that the Federal Reserve was printing our money for us, or that we were getting it from the Federal Reserve, and he wanted to make sure that the U.S. was following what it said in the Constitution, which was that the U.S. government, the U.S. Mint, will create and print the money, gold and silver coin, for the United States, rather than having to borrow it from the Federal Reserve Board. So, you know, he definitely had his traditionalist values that he was espousing.
Yep.
I just thought that was an interesting little tidbit of information there.
He did, but, you know, looking further at his design, he's actually, in terms of centers, is a similar design to Michael Jackson. He just has the two. He's got more root energy. He's got four gates off the root. So he's going to have some more energy there. But one of the other things was that he was known to be a pretty wild man in terms of partying and stuff. But he got exhausted.
Yep.
And it's not surprising looking at his design. And his immune system from time to time struggled, and he would get injections of vitamin B to help, you know, basically help pump up his immune system. And, you know, and that's not surprising looking at his design and having a completely undefined spleen.
completely undefined and open, no gate activations whatsoever. Although he does have a lot of energy pointing towards it, there is nothing activated on his spleen. Very interesting. You'd never think that John F. Kennedy and Michael Jackson would have so much in common.
Twins separated at birth.
And yet they literally have the same design as far as the energy centers that are defined. You know, that's it. They both have only those two centers, the heart and the solar plexus. Very interesting.
So let's look at your guy, Tony Randall. I know you got something to say about Tony.
Tony Randall, you know, the Odd Couple has been done several times. And although I like the actors they used to portray the remake of the movie back in, what was it, the 80s or 90s, Tony Randall will always be the absolute best Felix Unger ever. I just wanted to say that. but it is amazing to me to look at his chart, and here he is in the middle of these three, and we haven't actually told people in a while how to get here. Peter, you want to share that link again?
Sure. Go to loveyourhumandesign.com, and on the right-hand side, click on Peter's blog, and then click on the article entitled Incarnation Cross of Planning. And we're looking at the charts down there at the bottom of it.
Yep. And Tony Randall is in the middle. He's the second of the three charts. And not only does he have the 3740 for this cross of planning, but he's got quite a bit more energy in his design than Michael Jackson and John F. Kennedy. He actually has the throat, the identity, the sacral, and the root also defined and connected to each other, and the root connected to the solar plexus. So he's what we call a single definition individual. None of his energy centers are cut off from each other. They all flow rather smoothly with each other. But the interesting thing about him, Peter, is he's got this tribal definition in his incarnation cross, and yet he has this unique expression, this individual, very individual and mutative spark type of energy flowing from his sacral all the way on up to his throat. You know, this is very much individual energy that is all about expressing himself in ways that just doesn't care about what other people think. And yet you juxtapose that with the channel of community, and it's all about how do I fit in. So it's a very interesting dynamic that's happening there. What do you think about all that and the way that they're connected?
Well, I think he lived that out too, because he you know, just doing the research, he was married for 30 years, and he kept his public life very quiet. And his wife passed away, I think they said in 92. And so then in 1995, at the age of 75, he married a 25-year-old. And he became very public about his marrying her. And they went on to have two kids. And, you know, so I think that was, I think he sort of woke up to his design that, you know what, you know, I don't have to, you know, I think, you know, I think part of it was he figured, well, people are going to talk because it's, you know, 50 years difference between a 75 and 25-year-old. It's not something you run across every day. And, so I think he just kind of woke up to, you know, hey, this is my expression of family. And, you know, and it obviously worked for them. You know, so it's that individual expression, but of, you know, of a family thing, of a family or tribal.
Very, very interesting. No, I just look at his chart and I keep thinking, you know, if you start at the will center and go down to the solar plexus, there's still still a connection between the solar plexus and the root. You can get down to the root, and then he's also got gate 52 off the root center, which connects to gate 9, which is that third gate in his cross. So he's got that flowing energy of the channel connected to the to gate 9 as well. And then you go up from the sacral up to the identity, from the identity up to the throat, and there's that gate 16 off the throat. You know, so his incarnation cross, all the energies in his incarnation cross are connected to each other. I don't know that we've ever had a chart that was like that. In any of the other crosses that we've talked about, I don't think we've ever had a chart where they were all four connected to each other in the flow of energy.
No, that's pretty interesting, actually. Good find there, Ricardo.
And, you know, you mentioned how he kind of dropped out of sight for a while and then was back in the limelight. You know, we look at his profile. He's got that hermit opportunist energy where he's got that energy of leave me alone for a while. But then he's got that energy that says, I got to be out. I got to be social. I got to start making connections. You know, I got to do all this. You know, so you're right. You know, he really has been living out that energy, you know, the energies of his design fairly well, I guess.
And, you know, I was thinking about it. You know, if you took these three guys, Michael Jackson, John F. Kennedy, and Tony Randall, and just, at least for me, and said, you know, who could you sit down, which one of these guys could you sit down in a coffee shop and talk to, I would say Tony Randall. And I think part of that is just his 2-4 personality. You got to remember, 2-4s, these are people that can kind of talk to anybody. And, you know, so it's understandable why David Letterman had Tony Randall on 70 times on Late Night with David Letterman.
Wow.
And a lot of times they were just brief appearances and stuff like that. But, you know, he's just the kind of guy that you could talk to about anything.
Yeah. Very interesting.
And that's that 2-4 energy. I think.
You know, that would be interesting to do a series on talk show hosts and see what their designs look like.
Yeah.
You know, and their profiles.
Maybe we'll have to do that.
Interesting.
Well, Reverend Rick, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, something that it just every time I look at Tony's chart, it really just stands out to me. You know, the absolutely no definition above his throat, no gates, no centers, just total clearness. Maybe I shouldn't say clearness, just total openness. How's that?
Yeah.
but it just it's so funny to me to see that. I don't know why. I guess. You know, the kind of person he is, I guess I would have expected something else up there, but maybe that just adds to his draw as the actor that he was. You know, he was not just a TV actor, he was also a fairly successful stage actor.
Yep. Stage and film. Lots of films.
Yeah.
And you know, and a lot of the I was sort of leafing through, and a lot of the films are just small parts. But, you know, I don't think that, with this design, I don't think that bothered him.
Nope, not at all. I think he was still able to express himself as he wanted.
Absolutely.
So, very interesting collection of charts tonight, Peter. Kudos.
Well, thank you for joining me to discuss them. And have you guys got a show going on tomorrow?
You know what? To be honest, I don't know. I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be able to join my lovely co-hosts for the Spiritual Help Desk show tomorrow. And the last I heard when we were talking about it last week, they were going to decide it later whether or not they were going to have a show tomorrow. So unfortunately, last week was my last show for 2011 on the Spiritual Help Desk. But I will certainly be there again with them next year, starting in January. And hang on, Peter, before we close off here, there's another question in the chat board, in the chat room.
All righty. Well, just for you listeners, Human Design on the Air will return in January, the second Monday in January, which I think is the 9th, at our usual time here at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
And Peter, the question in the top in the chat room.
Yes.
With the Christmas season here, I'm longing to be a part of the family. but then in parentheses it says, "But not really." Feels more like the collective field energy. I do love the family I was born into, but not able to be with them for very long. Need to leave after a short visit. Then I'm judged and ridiculed, but I do my best not to take it personally and to accept it. Any suggestions? And then there's a follow-on. Even though I don't have the incarnation crosses you discuss each week, I love learning more about each gate and channel and listening to your perceptions and perspectives. Thanks, Peter and Reverick. You're quite welcome, Judy. Thank you for being here with us. And I'm going to ask, Peter, you got any suggestions that can help her out? And while he's thinking, sorry to interrupt there, Peter, while he's thinking, Judy, if you could type in what is your design, your profile, and cross, if you know it, that would help out a bit.
And I just say, remember, we've used the word family a lot tonight, and that's one representation. This is really the tribe. This energy is, you know, this energy goes back a long way in mankind and has been key, or humankind, I should say, and has been key in the evolution and the survivability of humankind. So this energy, don't think of it strictly as family. Think of it as the tribe. And, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, I feel like some of us are born into families where we fit in and thrive very nicely, and some of us are born into families where it's not as cohesive, but they're here to teach us things. That doesn't mean that you can't get some aspects of the family out of it. Again, great point you made. Don't take it personally, because it's not personal. It's just the energy expressing itself. And then I guess the other suggestion is, if your family, blood family, is not cohesive, do you really have another family, a tribal family, you know, a group of women that you gather with, or you know, any other aspect that gives you that aspect of family or tribe? And so I guess that would be my suggestion.
All righty. And I am also sending you her chart, just so that you could have it and see if there's anything else you would like to add to it once you get a chance. And I don't know if you saw or not, but she says she's the cross of rulership on the chat board, a 1-4 manifestor. So I didn't know if you had seen that or not.
And what are your comments, Rick?
I would say there's, Judy, I'm going to throw a couple of things out there that are probably going to make you laugh, to be honest. But I would say you do have that connection from the solar plexus to the throat, and that is part of the individual circuitry. It's individual energy. It's the ability to be very graceful and articulate in your dealings with others, or not. And I would say that it's all about the mood. If you're not in the mood, chances are you want to find some way to gracefully excuse yourself from being there before the unique and individual thoughts that are floating in your head find their expression through your voice, because chances are it won't be pretty. Might be fun. You might be laughing in your head, but you might be the only one. And the only reason I say that is that 1222 channel, that channel of openness, when you are in the mood to socialize, it is the ability to say what needs to be said in whatever way is appropriate for you to say it, and people will hear it, they'll get it, they'll be ready for it. But it's all about recognizing in you the mood, you know, and are you in the mood or aren't you? And the foot in mouth often, yes. So I would just gently prod you to focus on your emotions, and when you know that you're approaching that point where you're not in the mood, find some way to gracefully escape the situation and let your voice rest for a while. And hopefully that helps. And Peter, I see your comment there. I think we've just run over our time limit.
Yes, I think we've run out of time.
But I believe we're still recording, yes?
I think it still records, yes.
Okay, so if you wouldn't mind, I'll let you go ahead and give any final details, and I'll just put a comment out there letting them know that they can listen to the recording and get the tail end of it, okay?
Sure. I would just say that, there's a lot of individual energy in the design with the channels running down the middle of the chart, and echo what you said, Reverend Rick, that you're designed to speak your mind, and it's going to be your understanding or your expression of what you understand and how you understand it. And there's going to be times that the family community get it, and there will probably be more times that they don't get it. And so, again, not taking that personally, and knowing that they'll hear it when they're ready to hear it. And, of course, you can always try the trick that Reverend Rick suggests and say something like, I've got an idea, or I've got a thought about that, and, you know, and see if they ask you for it. If they ask you for it, then they're probably ready to hear it. And if they don't ask for it, then they wouldn't have heard it anyway.
Yep. For that channel from the... For that Genius to Freak channel from the Ajna to the Throat, it is so much about timing. You know, making sure that they're ready. It's not your timing, it's their timing. And making sure that they're ready to receive the pearls of wisdom that you have to offer. So hopefully that's enough to get you through. So I will say happy holidays to everybody. Enjoy the next couple of weeks or few weeks. And Peter, when are we coming back?
The second Monday. I believe it's the 9th at 8 p.m. Eastern here on Human Design On Air. So happy holidays, everyone. And we'll see you next year.
See you then. Bye-bye, everyone.